It's the first episode of Innova Radio.
Welcome to Innova Radio, your place to gather insight and wisdom for creating healthy organizations. Discover how to uncover defects in your organization and find ways to be a powerful force of change for your organization. Here's your host, David Phillips.
Well, this is the first episode of Innova Radio, and I'm pretty excited. I've podcasted before, but kind of rebranding it under a new name. We're going to talk about business, we're going to talk about leadership, we're going to talk about technology. And first, let me give a shout-out to Roundtable Media Group. Roundtable is a multi-channel media group focused on podcasting, and I'm actually part of the founding part of the founders there, and so we're looking to bring podcasters on of all different persuasions and create this multi-channel podcasting hub, and we've got all kinds of services and technology for you to help you launch your podcast or to bring people on to create content and help you move forward in your podcasting efforts. But back to the podcast for a minute. We're going to have interviews from time to time. I'm going to talk about different topics, again, from technology to business to leadership to organizational change. And I'm really looking forward to doing that, maybe even throw in some philosophy or theology every once in a while just to keep it fresh. But so as I was thinking about this inaugural podcast and what we would talk about, of course, the politics of the United States are in full swing, and we're in the midst of the Republican primaries and the Democratic primaries, and there's all kinds of interesting topics for discussion there, especially in terms of business and in terms of leadership and organization and even cultural change. And But I read an article this past week on the politics of anger, and I really want to talk about that for the next few minutes. You know, Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders are all the rage this year, and much of it has to do with this anti-establishment mentality that's going on in both parties, And there's also an anti-business mentality in part of this election, and there's a lot of anger. And so I was reading this article from Harvard Business Review this past week. It's called "How Big Business Created the Politics of Anger," and I just want to read a paragraph or two of the author's primary thoughts on this. He says, companies are not squarely to blame for the anger and frustration that have so warped this presidential primary season, nor are they entirely innocent. The growing economic inequality that polarizes U.S. politics is not merely the inevitable result of our free market system. It is also a consequence of the choices our business leaders make, and those choices have contributed to the anti-business attitude that both parties have embraced. And then he goes on to give some examples of illegal and immoral behavior like Volkswagen's emissions test cheating. But he also says that a far greater factor is that U.S. companies are using questionable corporate practices that are entirely legal. And he's right. An example he gives is Disney compelling its employees to train lower-paid foreign replacements, and then getting laid off. Or hedge fund managers protecting these interest loopholes. When companies take these drastic or these make these major mergers to create tax opportunities for them, so that they don't have to pay taxes in a certain country, or that they can limit their exposure there, or when banks impose overdraft protection fees for low-income clients. And what the author argues is it's undermining the long-term welfare of the United States. And so I was thinking about this, and I think in some ways he's right. But the other thing that we have to realize is that companies are doing legal, but some say unethical business practices. But much of it is a way to skirt the regulation that has gone on from U.S. lawmakers. Now, some would say that, well, you know, big business and businesses in general have their lobby groups, and they are certainly correct in that. There's no questioning that, and so we have to take that into consideration. Every company and every industry has a huge level of self-preservation, and so that happens. Companies are going to lobby, industries are going to lobby for regulation that is beneficial to them. On the flip side, you have legislation and regulation that's beneficial for the masses, for the community, for the country as a whole. And it seems that oftentimes what happens is that you have politics putting in regulation, and businesses try to skirt that regulation, those regulations, for the sake of making money and protecting their shareholders, which they do have a corporate and legal responsibility to do so. But they skirt those. They try to skirt those, and so they engage in questionable practices. Now, the issue that we have to ask, or we have to consider, is, okay, is it a chicken or an egg? Do we blame business, or do we blame the regulations that created the unethical, possibly, but legal business practices? And that's the question that I want to just touch on for a moment today. One of the real problems I think we have in our political system and in our business systems is a concept called the law of unintended consequences. The law of unintended consequences in general says that at some point when you put in place regulation, there will be unintended consequences to that regulation. So, for instance, healthcare, Obamacare passed back in 2010. You had 2 years of implementation and regulation, multiple years actually, so maybe 3 or 4 years of it all. And there, the unintended consequences of Obamacare is that people have less choice. People in the Obamacare, in the exchanges, have less choice as far as who they can see or what hospital they can go to, and their premiums are higher than in previous insurance opportunities. And you know, I realize at the same time that everybody should have access to healthcare. Pre-existing conditions should not keep a person from having health care. I know how that feels. I have a back issue, and have a herniated disc. I've had surgery on it. I actually had one insurance company a few years ago when I was in between positions trying to find insurance say that would keep me from getting insurance for at least 5 years. So, you know, I understand the need for it. I understand the desire for it, but the unintended consequences of all of that regulation and all of that junk, I don't have a positive view of Obamacare, is that it has raised rates, limited coverage, and Even the deductibles are so high that it really makes so little sense sometimes to even have insurance. When you've got a $10,000 deductible and you're paying $300 a month for insurance, you know, you're looking at, what is that, almost $14,000, before insurance kicks in. And so what you have, in essence, is a catastrophic health insurance plan. So those are unintended consequences. Now, the political system, this is coming from a blog called Marginal Revolution. It's done by two economists at George Mason University, Tyler Cohen and Alex Tabarrok, and I'm hoping I say that last name correctly. And Tabarrok says that the political system is simple. It operates with limited information and short time horizons, low feedback, and poor and malign incentives. Society, in contrast, is a complex, evolving, high-feedback, incentive-driven system. And when a simple system tries to regulate a complex system, you often get unintended consequences. Unintended consequences are not restricted to government regulation of society, but can also happen when the government tries to regulate other complex systems, such as the ecosystem. Unintended consequences can even happen in the attempted regulation of complex physical systems. But the fact that unintended consequences of government regulation are usually, though not always or necessarily, negative is not an accident. A regulation requiring apartments to have air conditioning, for example, pushes the rental contract against the landlord and in favor of the tenant, but the landlord can easily push back by raising the rent, and in doing so will create a situation where both the landlord and the tenant are worse off. And that happens every day. More generally, when regulation pushes against incentives, incentives tend to push back, creating unintended consequences. Not all regulation pushes against incentives. Some regulations try to change incentives, but incentives are complex, and constraints change, so even incentive-driven regulations can have unintended consequences. And he closes with this: does the law of unintended consequences mean that the government should never try to regulate complex systems? No, of course not. But it does mean that regulators should be humble. And humble, and the hurdle for regulation should be high. And so, I mean, here's what has gone on. We have tried to, the government has tried to put in place regulations, for instance, to keep the financial disaster from 2007-2008 from happening again, and that should happen, but it likely should be limited regulation. Deal with the issue. Don't create this complex set of rules and regulations that can have unintended consequences later on down the line. And that's what happens in business. Government creates regulation, and businesses with a team full of lawyers look for ways to circumvent those regulations, or take advantage of those regulations, or take advantage of loopholes within those regulations for self-preservation and self-enhancement. They are going to work for their own self-interest, just like most of us most of the time. So here's an example, a very real example that speaks to the issues regarding the election and the anger and the anti-establishment and the anti-big business and all of that that's going on in our current election cycle. Pat Caddell, who worked in the Carter administration, I believe, is a pollster, and he had a conversation on Breitbart.com with about the whole Trump phenomenon. And here's what he said, and this may seem like a long read, but I think it's important. Caudill attributed Trump's greater success thus far to the primary electorate leaning toward populism, but he saluted Cruz for drawing his differences quite well with Trump during Thursday's recent debate. A vitally important task for Cruz. He goes on to say, however, he chalked up the win for Trump based on the trade issue, which Caudill described as a stunner when he recently polled voters on the issues important to them. He said that the poll showed Republicans and independents following Republicans even more than Democrats are anti-free trade, or I should say, they have had it with trade deals, just as they've had it with the Washington establishment. What's happening is the economic anxiety, the tremendous alienation that exists, and the concerns about national security, and particularly China, are all fueling this nexus issue, which is all being expressed in concrete terms over these trade deals. Noting the issue scored especially strong in Michigan and Mississippi exit polls. Caudill further argued that this nexus issue was the reason so many analysts were taken by surprise when Bernie Sanders defeated Hillary Clinton in the Michigan Democratic primary. He faulted the hasty and superficial nature of many other media polls for failing to detect these powerful shifts of opinion in voters on both sides of the party divide. It's everywhere, in every constituency, Caudill said, of voter alienation from the Beltway establishment. But remember, just this past August, Senator Mitch McConnell and John Bonier, when Barack Obama was on his rear, having had the rug pulled out from under him by Democrats and on the verge of a major defeat in advance of the Iran deal, who came riding to his rescue. But McConnell and Bonier, as I assume, after they got the phone call from the Chamber of Commerce and managed to finagle whatever way they did it, to resurrect TPA, the authority, and to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, if you're looking at it politically. Caudill said the overwhelming sentiment among Republican and Democrat voters alike is running against backroom deals, especially the kind voters feel will be coming their way as Republicans caved to Obama during his final lame duck year. The independent variable is the American people who are driving the election, and Donald Trump is the dependent variable, Caudill declared. He has been the vehicle closest for many, many Republicans, despite all of the other problems, substantively on the issue, and that is economic nationalism. He advised other Republican candidates not to shy away from this economic nationalism concept, as fully 75% of their voters are behind it, and it's also a major component of Bernie Sanders' success on the Democratic side. Wall Street will freak out. All of the, quote, better people who've been sitting in their ivory towers, economists saying, oh, free trade is good for you, whatever. Well, the American people have figured out that they've been screwed, Caudill said, noting high levels of support for supposedly unthinkable measures like tariffs, especially when applied to countries that abuse trade agreements or treat their workers poorly. I'm telling you, we're in a new paradigm. This is a revolutionary moment, he said, describing it as a historical moment of evolution in our political process, whose outcome could not yet be predicted, especially by politicians and poll-addicted pundits who have misunderstood the Trump-Sanders moment thus far. Many of the pundits assumed Trump's appeal would fizzle, comparing it to themes from earlier failed campaigns such as Pat Buchanan's run in 1992. But the article goes on to say, if Caudill's analysis is correct, what these other analysts missed was that many streams of discontent flowed into the river of economic nationalism, creating a unified focus for a huge number of Republican voters and an impressive number of Democrats who feel the incestuous political and big business elite no longer serve their interest. Indeed, a good deal of Washington culture is actively hostile to them. These voters feel like internationalist orthodoxy was given a chance to succeed, and they are profoundly disappointed in the results. They haven't just lost confidence in the elite. They don't even think they can command its respect or get its attention. In Donald Trump, they see a champion who will not easily be ignored. So the unintended consequences of all of these free trade agreements, and that's the nexus issue, the heart of what Cadell was trying to share, that all of these free trade agreements, NAFTA back in the 90s and TPA now, has led to companies shipping jobs overseas and gutting the American middle class. In addition to that, they see lawmakers not having the mass majority of folks who are middle class, or economically disadvantaged. They're seeing government not caring for their interests. They see big business not caring for their interests. And so you've got these three streams that are being connected to create this Trump-Sanders phenomenon in the American election, presidential election. So you have discontent with the political elite, discontent with the business elite, and discontent with and this unintended consequences of free trade for the past 20 years that has opened the door for people to be fed up and ready to do something different. And that is what is going on, I think. And much of it stems from the law of unintended consequences. Now, here's the thing. Unintended consequences will always exist. It's not something that can be put aside. It's not something that can be ignored. It's not something that will go away. Unintended consequences always exist. You just have to manage them. Chad Teal said, "We don't live in a perfect world, and we can't always identify potential problems before we exist. Hence, it's important to continually monitor, measure business efforts, and make adjustments whenever necessary. Every decision has an effect on every other area of business, and not just business, but government regulation. And not just government regulation, but your family life and your finances. There are always unintended consequences. And so while you can't predict every one of them, while you can't look 10 years down the road or look 20 years down the road, you have to continually to monitor and look at the minute changes that happen and try to forecast what's going to happen. So we have to monitor and measure our business efforts, our personal finance efforts, our personal health efforts. And far too often, especially in the personal areas, what we do is we ignore, or we just don't keep up with. And suddenly we find ourselves 20 pounds overweight or $10,000 in credit card debt or whatever it may be. People just don't pay attention to the unintended consequences. But we need to. We need to pay attention. And we need to focus on them. And if we focus on them, then we can be able to minimize the impact that our decisions make now. from a negative standpoint, the unintended standpoint. So we have to monitor. We have to track. So how do we do that? So we need to have a goal in mind when we make a decision. What's even a quick decision? What is the goal, the positive or negative goal of this decision? What's the positive or negative outcome of this position, of this decision? And with that in mind, look at it on a regular basis. Maybe it's looking at your personal finances every Sunday. Maybe it's weighing once a week or weighing every day if you're trying to lose weight. So you schedule, put it on the calendar, make regular times to look at the impact that your decision has made, on a regular basis. And as you look at it, as you schedule that time and look at the decisions you've made, then you have a couple of decisions to make. Do I stay the course? Is everything going well? Or do I need to adjust? And maybe even a third decision is, do I need to bring someone else in to help me? A coach, someone who has just above you or been where you're trying to go, that kind of person. And then when you find that unintended consequence, because it's going to happen, when you come to that, don't freak out. Don't start tossing out blame. Just deal with what's there. Assess the position. Look at what has happened and begin to make a new goal. Tweak it. Don't tear it up. Tweak it. If you and that's the important thing about a system is systems should only get torn down when they are so destructive and so broken that they can't be fixed. Most of the time, what needs to happen are tweaks. Tweaks in your diet, tweaks in your spending, tweaks in your business practices, in your marketing efforts. They're tweaks. They're not overwhelming changes. And so tweak. And then put it in the back of your mind what happened, what you did, and what the outcome was. Or keep a journal. Make a log. Just don't fixate on it because you can get stuck there and you can lose it. And so the law of unintended consequences, I think, has a grave impact or a major impact on our political process this year. And we need to revisit it from a regulatory standpoint, from a business ethics standpoint, from a systems standpoint, to see what tweaks need to be made. And as you think about your own life, your own personal situation, your own business situation, what decisions have I made and what are the outcomes of those decisions? And have I kept track? Have I created a baseline? Have I created a way to measure or a way to monitor the decisions that I've made so that I can look and try to forecast or predict what the unintended consequences may be or what the impact of my decision is. And if you can do that, then later down the line when issues arise, hopefully you can tweak instead of tear down. And that's just a much easier process to tweak than to tear down. So think about that. As you go to the polls, as you look at the candidate you're going to vote for, and I know many primaries are already finished, at least for this piece of the election cycle, but not only just in our election cycle, but in your life, in your business, in your career. Think about those things. And I look forward to hearing from you through comments or reviews or emails from the show about how you've done that. Hey, thanks for being part of our first episode of Innova Radio. We look forward to other episodes and looking forward to hearing from you and getting feedback from you on the show. Thanks. Take care, and until next time, lead the change.
Thanks for listening in today, and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode of Powerful Insight. For more up-to-date information and tips to help you on your quest for change, head over to the website at www.wdavidphillips.com and sign up for our newsletter.